Good morning, Wisconsin. Good morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I'm joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And the best listeners in radio. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We got good things lined up for you today. We're going to have some fun a little bit later with our friends from the Save of the Arts Council. We're going to talk a little bit about the band Uptown. That's coming up in a little bit. We got our local and state news coming up. But right now, we kick this hour off the way we like to on Thursdays with our Pet of the Week from the Southfield County Humane Society. Joining us on the phone, Executive Director Madison Rafter. Madison, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing good. Thanks a lot for joining us. We appreciate the time. I know that you like to be in studio when you can, but calling in, understandable. You guys are got a lot going on over there, Madison. How is the construction going?
Construction's going good. We're hoping still for at least end of February. Otherwise, mid-February, they're almost finished. We've got a couple oopsies that we found during the construction process that we now got to work on getting a couple parts for, but we are very excited for them to be finalized and done.
Very cool. Very, very good to hear. We're excited for not only you and your team over there, but of course all of our furry friends, those dogs, being able to enjoy that. And Madison, before we get to our Pet of the Week and some of the ways we can help out our Humane Society, I have to thank you, publicly appreciate you. Madison was working with me and Laura about getting the rabbit Janice over there to get her nails cut. Janice weighs about 150 pounds. She's a bit, no, she's a big rabbit. She's a big rabbit.
She's a human-sized rabbit.
She's pretty big. But she comes.
James, did Madison clip your nails?
No, I almost did ask her, though. She did such a good job. I was like, I really hate cutting my nails, and I always cut them too short. I thought about it for a second, but she was very busy. And I don't know how flipping me on my back would go. I don't know if, I'm a little taller than Madison. I don't know. Matt, I do really appreciate that. Madison did that out of the kindness of her heart, just taking the time out of her very, very busy day to do that. So thank you, Madison. Appreciate you.
Of course, not a problem. I enjoy being able to educate people about animals, and if it's as simple as trimming nails that need assistance, I have no problem offering that out.
And being a huge rabbit lover helps a little bit, right? Like a little bit.
When you've had rabbits for over 10 years, it's one of those things that you know them so well, and just being able to educate people and help out where I can, I love it.
Well, I bring it up not to give you more work, but to compliment you and to let people know that may have not gotten the chance to work with you or be around you, how informed and how intelligent you are on this subject. You are, I think, a trusted voice in this community when it comes to our animals and it comes to being a voice for our animals. And I want people to keep that in mind when Madison or the Humane Society is posting or talking about some of these hoarding situations or some of the situations out there that we're putting these animals in that are selfish and not putting the animals first, like this segment is all about. We love having fun talking about our Pet of the Week, celebrating our Humane Society, but this all comes back to putting animals first. And that's when you know you're truly loving an animal right. And we do appreciate that, Madison.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Madison, we have made people wait long enough. I have rambled enough. I'm getting off my soapbox. Who is our Pet of the Week?
Our Pet of the Week this week is going to be Sudoku. So I had brought up Frosty the Orange Cat about a week or two ago, and I kid you not, these cats could be twins. Not in the aspect of how they look, but more based off of the aspect on personality-wise. These cats are just the most lovable orange boys possible. Where Sudoku is a little bit more of the buff coloring, but both boys are just the sweetest cats ever. They want to curl up in your lap. They want to be snuggled. You hear them purring across the room. Just sweetest, sweetest boys ever. But Sudoku, a little bit different from Frosty the Orange Cat. He is a large cat. I'd say he's probably close to that 10-pound mark. But otherwise, he is neutered, microchipped, and up to date on vaccines. But if you are looking for like the most lovable orange cat, you got to check out Sudoku.
Beautiful coat. I see the color is called buff.
Buff. Yep. So there's orange, there's buff, there's, oh goodness, there's so many different colors
out there.
But usually when it's that really light cream color, we call it a buff.
There are a couple of great pictures of Sudoku on the website. Encourage you to go check that out at swchs.com. It sounds like Sudoku would fit just about any kind of family.
Oh, yeah, he's fantastic. If you have kids, if you're just looking for a young couple that's looking for their first cat, if it's an older couple that's looking for a chill cat, Sudoku, I feel like, would fit into any family situation. While we don't necessarily know his past history, since he did come into us as a stray, we don't know if he'd do well with other dogs or other animals. But again, with very slow introductions, I think he'd fit very well into any home environment.
I relate to Sudoku. I get it. It's fun. You know, it's interesting to have a little mystery to your past, you know? There's a little mystery there. It makes it more interesting. Makes me a little, ooh, what's going on with Sudoku? What's a mysterious past? Yeah, yeah.
But you got to look him up and look at the pictures, because there's one there that he's just like, oh, just love me.
Yes, yeah, the second one. Yeah, the second one. Yes, it's so good. And Sudoku, along with all the his friends, are at your fingertips at swchs.com. I'm looking at it right now, and I'm falling in love with Dessa. I love the look on Dessa's face and Dumpling. And I always like to bring attention to dogs like Harold and Gator that have been at the facility for a while. There are so many great animals. We could spend hours and hours talking about each one of these wonderful animals over there. There is a new furry friend, a new best friend over there at the Southwick County Humane Society for you. Madison, we appreciate the time. I don't like to keep you too long when you're on the phone here. I know how busy you are. Is there anything you guys are in need of more than other things? We know it's always kitten season.
Yeah, for sure. So with our dog renovations, we are running low on supplies. Hot dogs are always a good one, 30-gallon garbage bags. With our hoarding case cats, we are always in need of cat litter, cat food, pretty much any pet supplies that anyone is willing to donate. We are more than willing to take it.
You can find out more and help out more with our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society by reaching out to them at SWCHS at SWCHS.com. Give them a call at 715-423-0505. And keep in mind that their facility is located at 3621 64th Street North in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to follow them on Facebook and social media as well. Madison, we're looking forward to next Thursday already. We're going to spread the word about Sudoku and the great animals over there. Thank you so much for the time.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
We'll talk with Madison next week and have some more fun with our Pet of the Week. Again, find out more at SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com. Let's go ahead and take a quick time out, Melissa. We'll come back.
Right.
We'll talk a little entertainment. We'll talk some more. We'll have some more fun when we come back on the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio.
City running through my veins. Like tiny bubbles in a champagne glass. Make a body levitate. Way, way, way up high. Way, way up high.
Welcome back to the show, everybody. Morning show here at WFHR. Melissa and James hanging out with you. We're going to talk a little entertainment. We're going to talk a lot of entertainment this hour because we've got Sally Kistner from the Arts Council joining us in a little bit. We're going to talk about Uptown, coming to town. Mm-hmm. It's going to be fun. Looking forward to that. Right now, diving in, Margaret Robbie seems to be a lot less concerned about her Barbie Oscar snub for Best Actress than just about everybody else.
Right.
Quote,
which is perfect.
It kind of is, yeah. Quote, there's no way to feel sad when you know you're this blessed. Obviously, yeah. I think Greta should be nominated as a director because she did what she did is a once in a career, once in a lifetime thing. It's been an incredible year for all the films. We set out to do something that would shift culture, affect culture, just make some sort of impact. And it's already done that, and some way more than we ever dreamed it would. And that is truly the biggest reward that could come out of this.
Yeah. Yep, not some dumb prize. It's some dumb award show.
Exactly. In related news, Robert Downey Jr. doesn't think Margaret gets enough credit for her performance as Barbie, specifically how she reacts during American Friara's monologue. And what I love about this, and I love about Robert Downey Jr., is he is a student of the game. In the brief, and I mean brief, time that I was around that man, he dropped two old Hollywood references. Now, he wasn't talking directly to me. He was talking to the whole team and everything. But he was we're out there on a bridge filming at like midnight, one in the morning, and we're waiting for the rain to die down. And he starts referencing Singing in the Rain and how they had to create rain and all this. Like this is a guy who comes from a family of this and understands this. And I appreciate that approach, because it's one thing for any actor can come out and say Margot Robbie deserved an Oscar. What he's doing is giving you the details of why he thinks she deserves it. He's not just saying it, he's giving you the data to back it up.
Right.
And I agree.
Coming from an informed opinion.
Yeah.
As versus just a, well, she should have.
And the thing about this, too, is if she comes out and says, yeah, I feel like I was snubbed. Well, then who? She also has to deal with one of the other actresses thinking that they didn't belong in there. And they you know, you can only have five. So you'd have to knock somebody out of there. And Margot Robbie and this whole, and not just her career, her as a person, but Barbie, a lot of the intent of it is, from what I've heard from her and I've heard from others, is showing, you know, women supporting women and right. having more of that. That would defeat the purpose.
It would kind of go against completely.
And it shows how genuine she is about this with her response. Mm-hmm. It is not something her publicist came up with or something like that. Margot Robbie speaks from the heart, speaks from the cuff, and I appreciate mm-hmm. that about her.
Yeah.
And she's
the success of the movie speaks for itself.
Yeah. And she's so dang talented. Like actors like her that have this incredible career, like their first 6 to 10 films, it's just incredible to watch. And I get so excited. I don't know how people like I've wanted this since I was 7 years old, but I don't have a tinge of jealousy in me when it comes to these things. I see this stuff and I get excited for the game. I get excited for acting. I get excited to see what she's going to do in the next 10, 20 years or what she'll do when she's, you know, older and around Meryl Streep's age or something like that. Like, it's going to be fun to see what she does. I think it's kind of cool.
And see what's next.
And I think that for whatever it's worth, she's going to have other opportunities to be nominated.
More than likely.
As you probably know, Bruce Willis was diagnosed with aphasia almost 2 years ago and dementia a year ago. Mm-hmm. His ex-wife, Demi Moore, helps care for him along with his current wife, Emma Heming. And she has some helpful advice for families of someone with dementia. Demi says, quote, "I think the most important thing I could share is just to meet them where they are at.
Yeah.
When you let go of who they've been or who you think or even who you would like them to be, you can then really stay in the present and take in the joy and love that is present and there for all that they are, not all that they're not."
Hmm.
That's
really good advice.
Yeah. Going through this with my Nana and it's not easy to speak on, and I didn't expect to. I didn't think about it. You would think somebody who plans these segments would have thought about that. that's something that I think that if you're paying attention, you kind of learn in the moment. About this, but especially if you've never handled anything like this before, it's great advice, period. But I think that for many people that have dealt with this, they kind of get it. I think they understand that.
Well, because you have to, for their happiness and for your own contentment as well. You have to be able to accept them where they are because that's where they are. It's not you can't change it.
I think that one of the ways that happens for people, like it happened for me, was I recognized right away when my Nana was calling me my Uncle Anthony, my Uncle Anthony passed away way before I was even born. And it hurt at first because I was always her king. I was Jimmy. She knew me. But she still smiled at me when she called me Anthony. She still gave me this big smile and all this. And I just remember thinking, I gotta remember that smile. I gotta paint that in my brain and make sure I have an image of that, a snapshot of that in my head forever. Not her calling me Anthony, just the look on her face. And it got me in the moment. And I just rolled with it. I didn't correct her. I didn't, you know, try to make her feel bad or anything like that. I just rolled with it. And if you're in the moment, I feel like those things kind of, they play themselves out. They tell you what to do. You just follow the lead kind of. That's not something that I think is I don't know if I've ever read that in a book though or anything.
Yeah. And if for those of us who haven't experienced it, like as our grandparents and our parents in some cases are getting older and there is some memory lapse, I think that happens naturally anyway, even if there isn't any dementia or Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of get in the habit maybe of being okay with it. My grandpa called me my mom when, you know, the last few times I saw him.
Hmm.
And But I kind of expected that. I look a lot like my mom. Mm-hmm. And my mom has passed away. So for him to call me her was, it wasn't as hurtful necessarily. And I didn't correct him because I didn't feel like there was, it didn't really matter.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And he was happy to see the whoever it was he thought was in front of him.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know.
It's no, I appreciate that. Thank you for sharing that, Melissa. And I think that's all very noteworthy and adds to what we're talking about here. Focusing on them and doing what you can for them, being there for them in any ways that you can.
And does it matter, you know, if they call you Jim or if they call you Anthony?
Yeah, yeah, really. I mean, they're
acknowledging your presence.
Yeah, yeah, that's great. I ended up the next time that happened with my Nana, I ended up teasing her that you know that was better than some of the things she called me.
as long as she didn't call me late for dinner,
right? I got her to laugh. You know what I mean? That's it. That's the point of all this. And I appreciate Demi, Emma, Bruce's kids sharing a lot of this. As somebody who loved Bruce Willis, a huge fan. Gigantic
there's
fan.
So many fans that he has, and them sharing what he's going through helps other people. You know, as sad as it is to say, a celebrity like this going through something like that makes it far more real for those who don't have someone like that in their lives.
Mm-hmm.
Because we all know that people suffer from Alzheimer's and dementia, but having a celebrity like this share that, you know, just like Michael J. Fox with Parkinson's,
yeah,
to share those things makes it a lot more real for a multitude of people.
It has a similar feel to it of what you say there with Michael J. Fox. And when COVID hit, I think a lot of people that came home for when Tom Hanks caught it. You know, just extending this to other things. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. I know when this news first broke about Bruce Willis and the dementia, that weekend I went and watched one of my favorite Bruce Willis movies. I encourage people to do that, or maybe a scene or two of something. I really liked him in the Red movies, but there is a little sneaky good movie, and it's not a great movie, but it's a sneaky good movie from back in the late early 90s, I think, called Hudson Hawk. Where he plays an art thief, him and Danny Aiello, and they have this thing where they're gonna, like, say they're gonna break into a museum and steal this painting, but they got to do it in they only have so much time, so they do it by the time of a song, like Swinging on a Star.
Hmm.
And so they sing Swinging on a Star while they're doing the heist and all this and everything. And it's a silly movie. I'm not at all saying that it's a great plot or anything like that, but Bruce Willis, Danny Aiello's performances, perfection. Top-notch perfection. Just a fun movie to watch if you're looking and want to celebrate Bruce Willis and his career and have some fun. And we wish him and his the best.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to... did you have something, Melissa? Sorry.
Well, he's just got so many good movies out there to watch. You could spend a month watching his movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you would. Personally, for me, it's The Fifth Element.
That's such a good one. It's such a good one. That's such a good reference. I love that movie. So good. Mm-hmm. There's so many great... Chris Tucker in that movie is hilarious.
Oh, yes.
It's so good. So good. I wanted to touch on this with you, Melissa, real quick. Just a couple of things from our friends over at Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater, where they are getting ready for a couple of big productions. One of them, the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater's Silver Fox, is The Golden Age of Radio.
Oh, that one's going to be fun.
Tickets are on sale right now for this. Their productions kick off. They have a show on February 22nd at 2, February 23rd at 6, and February 24th at 2. Three shows for this one.
Whoa. Nice.
The Silver Foxes are some of our favorite people, a part of this community, a part of WRCT. It's a group of vets, of seniors that get together, have some fun on that stage, and give you some great entertainment and hopefully some inspiration to maybe do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Those shows are fun, and they're not as from an actor's perspective, they're not as demanding because most of the time you don't have to memorize. You're able to have your script up there with you. So yeah. It's less of a time commitment, less of a stress, you could maybe say. Maybe memorization isn't your forte anymore or it never was. Mm-hmm. Whichever way it goes, you know, this is a great opportunity to have fun, have that family camaraderie that comes from doing a show, but minus some of the stress.
Be sure to check that out, and be sure to get your tickets to check out The Glass Menagerie coming up March 1st, the winter production from Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater. It is one of the greats from Tennessee Williams and being directed by our own Seth Habegger and Beth Habegger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're co-directing the show because of the demands on Seth with games on our stations. But it's fun to be a part of this and see as the development is happening. We've got some of our major stage pieces now, our set pieces, and it's the stage is looking cool. We're going to actually do our filming next week for some of the multimedia parts of this production, so it's going to be really cool. I'm so excited.
This is just between you and I, okay, Melissa?
All right.
Are you getting tired of Seth yet? You work with him here. You got to work with him over there. I mean, just between us. No, I'm kidding. I do actually want to send a note. I got to see Melissa's hair yesterday, and my God, it looked awesome, Melissa. Man, your hair looked awesome.
Well, I was playing around with styles for the filming part of it because part one of the film pieces that we're doing is when my character is young. That was the hairstyle for when she's young, which fortunately I only have to do one more time because that was a lot of work.
It did seem like it, yeah, it did seem, but worth it. Ooh, worth it.
Yeah, it was cool.
Check out
a lot of curls.
We're going to talk a little bit more about the other side of things with Seth tomorrow when he joins us on the morning show. I want to get his perspective, but it sounds like you and your castmates, your crew, you guys really building
Wes
some great chemistry.
Daniel and Acacia are doing such a great job as well. I will eventually learn their last names so that I can say them on air, but at least I got their first names right. And those are their real names, not their character names.
Yes, yes. And a shout out to them and everybody else that's working so hard on this production. Mm-hmm. I got to run into your set builder a couple of times.
Yeah,
and
Pete working hard on our set. Christine's been helping him a lot too. So we've got a great team.
Really, really do. And I got to tell, I ran into Pete at Walmart and then he was in studio yesterday and I got to tell him a couple of times. We've had as long as I've been a part of WRCT, and that's going on 30 years, We've always had great sets and great set builders. What's gone on in the last couple of years have been game changing. Like it's something different, and it's something to go see. Everybody, get your tickets and find out more at wrctheater.org. wrctheater.org. We're going to take a quick time out, get to our state and local news. When we come back, we're talking with our friend Sally Kistner from the Arts Council and Joel Walker, managing director of Uptown. We're talking a little Uptown before they come to town here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everyone. Morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Got your host, James J. I am joined by Melissa K.
Good morning.
And we have in studio with us some of our favorite people. We have Sally Kistner, Executive Director of the Arts Council of Southwood County. Sally, good to see you.
Thanks. Great to be here.
I appreciate you being here. And we have Eric Brittenocker from the Performing Arts Center with us. Eric, always good to see you.
Thank you so much.
And joining us on the phone is Managing Director of the band Uptown, Mr. Joel Walker. Joel, good to have you with us.
Hey, so great to be here. How are you guys?
Doing good over here, Joel. How are you doing over there? Where are you calling us from, Joel?
I'm calling from my home in Los Angeles. So it's about 7:30 a.m. right now. I'm feeling great.
Right on. Thanks for kicking off your day with us, Joel. We appreciate the time. I want to talk with you about Uptown. I want to get into the band and what they're all about. Before I do that, though, I just want to do this publicly and thank you, Sally, Eric, for rolling with us. We were supposed to have you on Midday Magazine. I wasn't able to do that, and I appreciate you guys rolling with that and still being able to make this happen. So thank you to all of you.
You bet.
Oh, no problem.
Joel, when it comes to Uptown, this is a band that, that dives into the Motown classics along with bringing some newer stuff to it. If somebody comes up to you and says, Uptown, tell me about them, what's the first thing, the first sentences out of your mouth? What are the first ways you describe Uptown?
I would say our elevator pitch, which is what we call it in the industry, is that we are a contemporary Motown and soul group. It's like seeing the original acts like Stevie Wonder, Marvin Gaye, and The Temptations, if they were born any younger right now. So the energy that you remember seeing them in back in the day, but the soulfulness that still captures you from before. Mm. So something similar to that. Yeah.
Joel, my favorite singer of all time is Marvin Gaye. I grew up on it, love Marvin Gaye, love his music.
Awesome.
And one of the things that I have a conversation with my mom all about from time to time is, well, what would Marvin be doing now? What would he be doing in this day and age, and the kind of work and the things he'd be writing in that? It'd be so interesting. And we get a little flavor of that with some of the bands with Uptown, because they bring in not only some Motown, but they bring, like you said, a modern touch to it.
Yes, yes. And Marvin actually would be super popular in this era, in the Gen Z era.
Oh, yeah.
Because everything now is about a vibe.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Marvin was all about a vibe. There's a classic video of him singing falsetto on a couch, just jamming with the band. That would be a Tiny Desk. Like gold right now.
Mm-hmm. I got so goosebumps Marvin as you were saying that, Matt. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's such a good scene. Mm. Oh, it's so good. When it comes to the guys, let's talk about the band itself. Can you tell us some about the members of the band?
Yeah, so you guys are going to see the original members of the Uptown Band. So there's a troupe of us that's about eight. But the original three, we created the show Uptown in Harlem. That's why it's called Uptown, which is the home of the Apollo Theater. Mm-hmm. So every single song that we sing, one of the artists performed or premiered at the Apollo. So Stevie, Marvin, Michael Jackson, the Jackson 5, the Temptations, the Four Tops. And that's what made these artists hit the next level and become icons. And I created it with my friends, basically, in my basement in Harlem. So we have Derek Hicks, who has been on TV shows. He's part of a really popular a cappella group called Duende. And he's with me. And Bradford Bell, who's from North Carolina originally, and is a dance teacher and has helped us with the choreography. So I've combined, like, a super team of Motown superstars, and we're gonna go and create a party in Wisconsin for you guys.
We're looking forward to it too, Joel. We're speaking with Joel Walker, managing director of the band Uptown, that are going to be coming to town coming up in just a little bit on February 8th, just next week. We're going to be right around the corner here with this band. I keep forgetting it's February. I had to remind myself it's February. Joel, when it comes to the style of music, these guys are incredibly talented. I can't think of many types of music they couldn't do. Why Motown?
Well, you know, we grew up on Motown. That's another thing. Culturally, we're all African-American men, and we grew up listening to Motown. My grandfather was actually in a doo-wop group when he was younger.
Awesome.
And it's part of growing up listening to this music, watching it, listening to the Temptations, hearing stories from our parents and our grandparents about that era. And it fits perfectly. Just like anything you grew up on, you know, like sweet tea, it's part of who you are.
There's nothing that tastes like nostalgia. There's nothing that tastes like that. It feels good. It tastes good. It hits all the senses. You told us the why. How, though? How do you pull this off? I've watched many videos of this band, and it's incredible to me. The sound, the music, the way that they are moving with the music like the other bands did. What kind of training did you and this team do to be able to pull this off so well?
Well, we've been together for about 7 years, and we've practiced these routines thousands and thousands of times, probably 100 times before we even hit the stage the first time. But it's just a lot of practice. Like I said, we made it in my basement in Harlem, and we would just go down there for hours and rehearse over and over again the moves so that we could get the coordination and the endurance down so that we could sing and dance at the same time. And that's what, you know, the greats did too. Like, we're just emulating them.
So is that what where some of the training came from? Learning what they did and how they trained and rehearsed and kind of mimicking that? Did you guys watch YouTube videos of old clips of the Four Tops or anything like that?
Yeah, of course. I think if you're going to pay tribute to somebody, you want to go as you want to watch as much content of them as possible, and that's what's great about nowadays. there's a lot of things that people don't like about social media and all that kind of stuff, but going on YouTube and being able to watch the legends of music in real time and to see what their movements look like, how they're singing, how the crowd's reacting to them, how they interact with the crowd, that is priceless. And even when I was younger, I couldn't do that. You know, I used to have to record a tape to the radio to try to get a song to listen to over and over again. Now I can just pop it right up on my phone and listen to it and study it, basically.
My co-host Melissa is on the phone with us here, and her and I were talking the other day about people that can sing and dance or sing and play an instrument at the same time on stage. I don't know if I could play like a harp or like some of those instruments that I see some people doing and at the singing at the same time or anything. I'm pretty sure I couldn't play tambourine. I couldn't even do and sing at the same time. It feels, and you touched on something that I think was really key to this, endurance. That's something that it can only be built up through rehearsal, correct?
Right. Yeah, it's like, you know, dance is it's more than a sport. It's an art, and it's because you have to do that movement with coordination and grace. So that takes muscle memory. The same thing with playing an instrument, like you said, playing the harp. Harp's one of the hardest instruments to play in the world. I'm pretty sure most people couldn't play something like that and sing, but it's muscle memory that they develop to get to that level. And I can't play an instrument very well, but the dance thing for me is that it's just training, and you get used to it. I'm sure you could do it. We can teach you a little bit of something.
I'll stop by. We'll see what I can learn. We'll see. I don't want to brag, yeah. But I used to break dance, so I'm just saying.
So you definitely could do it. You're just playing with me right now.
Don't encourage me, man. Don't encourage me.
Need him to not be broken.
When it comes to the type of music you guys are playing, what are some of the bands, some of the music that you guys touch on?
We touch on every decade from probably around the 50s and 60s to today. We're really touching on R&B, soul, and Motown. But we give you Earth, Wind, and Fire. Stevie Wonder, Temptations, Four Tops, Little Stevie Wonder, and Big Stevie Wonder, by the way.
Nice.
The Jackson 5, Prince, all the way to Bruno Mars, which is like a contemporary version of all those guys. He kind of makes everybody from every generation feel that nostalgia, like you said. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tastes really good. Mm-hmm. And we do it in a very high energy and fun way. So you're going to be going in there and watching, but you're also going to be leaving dancing out of the aisles.
Yeah, that's just it. You watch these guys and you see, you go there, you're going to be moving. You're going to be moving, you're going to be dancing, you're going to be bopping your head, and you're going to be standing up and singing along to all these songs with this incredibly talented band. Joel, I really, really appreciate the time. Thanks so much again for working with our schedule and working with us. We cannot wait to welcome you guys to town.
Yeah, I can't wait to be there. I mean, it's a little cold there, right?
A little bit. Actually, you're coming to the...
Actually, it's pretty warm right now.
Yeah, I mean, a little... See, we're having record temps this the next couple of weeks. So, I mean, you picked a good time.
Perfect. We're going to bring the heat.
Right. Yeah, you are. Appreciate you, Joel. You have yourself a great day, man.
All right. Thanks so much, man. You too.
Thank you, Joel. Joel Walker, Managing Director of Uptown, joining us. A big thank you to him. And, of course, a thank you to Eric and Sally helping us get a chance to talk to Joel and talk a little Uptown. Sally, this is another great find. This is another great a gift you're giving to the community here. Bring it to us.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And this one I found at the Wisconsin Presenters Network conference that I went to about a year and a half ago. Cool. So I got to see a showcase live by them, and everybody in the audience was on their feet, and just their high energy just energizes everybody in the audience.
When you were reaching out to them, did you have Motown songs in your head? Did you
get?
I imagine,
absolutely.
Yeah, right? It couldn't be helped.
Right.
This is a fun one, but is this a different band? I ask you this every guest. Is this a different band? Is there a different setup or anything like that for this one, Eric?
You know, no, there's nothing really different. I mean, you know, It's kind of the same. I mean, every group is a little bit different. They all have their different needs. You know, we're doing a lot of work with our lighting programming. I've got a number of younger technicians who have taken on lights. And so we're kind of taking our, what I'd call like our rep plot, which is our lighting plot that exists for a lot of shows like this. And we're, you know, building effects into a lot of those lights. So we're able to kind of take what has happened in the Arts Council season so far, and we're now getting to the point with my students where we're adding to that and, cool. you know, just basically better light shows, you know, technicians are getting better, those types of things. So, I mean, this is a pretty standard, what I would call rock and roll group, you know, drums, bass, guitar, singers, dancers. And aside from that, you know, most groups require a lot of the same things. They need to be able to hear themselves, you know, they want to be heard, and so you have to provide them with the tools to do that.
I understand it might be basic to you. To a lot of people out there that don't know this stuff, I think it's very interesting, and I don't think a lot of people would understand what basics are or some of the, what you're talking, some of the things that they, what you would just start off with, or your original kind of format there. And I'm very I'm very excited for the kids getting to learn from these things. Every rep counts. You know that better than most. I imagine that they're really enjoying that too.
Yeah, they do. You know, and every show presents its own challenges. You know, not every show is going to be absolutely fantastic. We deal with things, you know, on a nightly basis. That's the, you know, that's live performance. Some things don't come out exactly the way that you'd want
them
to.
Tell me about it.
Well, you know, and so it's part of that thing, like, where some people, if you're not in this industry, you don't necessarily understand some of the challenges that exist. And so, you know, if it doesn't look exactly the way that it, you know, or you have a critical eye and you're like, oh, that's out of place, or, you know, you have a critical ear and it, that doesn't quite sound right, or we can't quite make that, you know, part of the passage out or something like that. There's a lot of things that are at play, and I think it's hard, you know, in the moment to explain to anybody why you can't hear a certain thing or why something sounds a certain way, because it's forever changing. And, you know, the dynamics of a performer, the equipment that they're working with or provide, you know, the sound that they're providing to us, a lot of those things change from event to event, from moment to moment. And so, you know, running sound or running shows live is very difficult. And so, you know, knowing that a lot of this is done with high school student technicians in training, along with professionals, you know, kind of behind the scenes, you know, all things considered, I think we're doing a great thing. And so, you know, as professional as we can be with high school students, I think we are. And I think we do a great job at what we're doing. And I think that, you know, the Arts Council, and they're embracing, you know, kind of the what's been established over the last 20 years with the Performing Arts Center and the help of the students, I think is just a great relationship. And it fosters what we need in the world, and that's skilled technicians to keep working with artists like this across our nation and across the world.
Very well said. Very well said. And I couldn't agree with you more. And a shout out to you and those kids and the great work that you guys are doing over there. And of course, to you, Sally, and your team over there, and being able to bring acts like this to town. We've got a great season of great acts coming up. March is jam-packed. Looking forward to talking more with you about that. But with Uptown, let's give them the details of the show.
You bet. Thursday, February 8th, 1 week from today, 7:30 p.m. Tickets are $39 for adults and $10 for students. And you can get them at the Arts Council. You can call 715-424-2787 or visit us at 1048 Street South, or go online, savorthearts.com. And please check out uptownofficial.com. And it'll give you a taste of what you're going to see that night. I'd also like to do a shout out to our sponsors, WFHR and WIRI, as well as Wisconsin Rapids City Times and Cobblestone Hotel and Suites.
A big thank you to all of those businesses supporting local, supporting the local arts. It's something that we believe in very strongly in this community, and we're able to enjoy thanks to people like yourselves. Thanks so much for the time, you two, and again for working with the schedule and everything. Really appreciate you guys and what you do for our community.
Thank you.
We will have more coming up for you here at WFHR. We'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Melissa and James hanging out with you. We're going to take it right to the top of the hour, wrap up the show. Thanks so much for joining us, everybody. We've had some a lot of fun today. A big shout out to Madison Rafter from the South County Humane Society getting us our pet of the week. I want to thank Sally and Eric and Joel for joining us talking about Uptown coming to town. Get your tickets at SaveOfTheArts.com. Get your tickets at SaveOfTheArts.com and be listening for a chance to possibly win tickets. Pretty cool. Be listening for that, everybody.
Sounds like a fun show.
Oh, it sounds so good. We're going to wrap up the show talking a little bit of fun here. And a little bit different of a That Ain't Right story, if you will. And this one comes to us from our own Melissa Kay. She sent this over from our friends at Reddit.
I couldn't resist.
The worst rated fast food restaurants in each state. Now, you can call up and tell us if you disagree with this. Or 715-424-2600. Feel free to call up and join the conversation. Looking at this list, Melissa, did anything stand out to you?
I was surprised by the one that our state rated the worst, but we'll wait to get to that because
we've
got to build the anticipation, right?
I was a little I was a little surprised by that too, but I was mostly surprised by the multiples of different ones. Like I see Michigan, Ohio, all the way down to Louisiana with McDonald's,
and out to Montana,
with McDonald's as there, and then Burger King is kind of spread out a little bit too, in some of the states with Texas and Oklahoma, and then all the way out to the Dakotas. Not the Dakotas.
I think McDonald's has the most, though. That's like 11. I count 11 states that say their McDonald's is the worst.
Yeah, that was a little surprising to me. I thought that was quite interesting.
There's a couple on here that I've never heard of. What's Schlotsky?
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah, I was going to ask you if you knew what it was.
I don't know, but Kansas doesn't like it.
It's called Schlotsky's Austin Eatery. I didn't know there was an Austin in Kansas. I don't know.
Pretty sure that's Texas, but could be wrong.
And there's a couple that only show up on the list like once, like Sonic or Firehouse or some of these ones.
Mm-hmm. I think there's like three for Panda Express, which I've had their food. Actually, I kind of liked it. I stopped at the one in Stevens Point. I thought I was kind of impressed.
I think like a lot of people with all of these businesses, if I haven't been to them, I've been to them and I've had a good and a bad experience at all of them.
But the fact that their menu options are versatile, like you can't go to McDonald's and order a burger on a salad. You can't just like, I don't want any bun. I just want it on a bed of lettuce. No, actually, you don't.
No, you don't.
Our lettuce is brown. But if you go to Panda Express, you can order their like a sweet and sour chicken on a bed of broccoli as opposed to a bed of rice.
Interesting.
Which, when you're trying to eat a little bit healthier at a fast food place, that's awesome.
Yeah, actually, that does sound pretty good. Yeah. Interesting.
KFC made the list a few times.
That was another interesting one. I thought seeing KFC on there. And
Idaho, Maine, Louisiana, Vermont.
A lot more than I would have thought, I should say, as far as like the variety of businesses. I kind of thought this would be one or two or five to seven, different. There's like 10 or 20 different restaurants on this list.
But there's actually, honorable. We have to mention these ones, James. We have to mention Florida.
Yeah.
The fact that they think Subway is the worst.
Yeah, it's funny to see that, too, with the whole entire thing just being glomped in Subway. That's an interesting one.
And that's the
only one. Yeah. And by far and away. Hardee's I see with just one in there as well. And that looks like, what is that, West Virginia? Or no, that's South Carolina, I think. Or North Carolina, I mean. That's Hardee's.
Yes. Mm. No, that's Virginia.
It is Virginia. Okay, I was half right.
But the one that I think should be on a whole lot more states, that isn't. It's only on four. And I personally think that's wrong. It also should be what our state is. Mm. And I'm sure nobody out there could guess which fast food restaurant I have a beef with. Because their beef is terrible.
I'm going to throw out...
And nobody should eat it.
Taco Bell, possibly.
Ding, ding, ding. I don't have the hotkeys, but ding, ding, ding.
Yes.
You named it. we would be remiss if we don't talk about Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin. Who was Wisconsin's, Melissa?
Qdoba.
Qdoba. Interesting.
Which I don't even think I've actually eaten at a Qdoba.
It's nothing personal. I never have either. I just hadn't been around many of them. We have one, I believe, in town here, but I have not been over there yet.
Well, and it's fairly new, actually. Yeah, it opened up recently, in the last year or so.
And but I don't eat out a lot. So
that, don't like Qdoba.
Yeah. So Wisconsin chose Qdoba. That's an interesting thing. You can see the entire list at Reddit.com. Go to Reddit.com to find that complete list. And nice work, Melissa. That was fun. That's a fun list.
It's one of those things.
Normally, there isn't much overlap between wanting to send a significant other cookies and wanting to break up with them. But a place, Insomnia Cookies, is offering a limited edition new 12-pack of cookies from their website. And they're offering something that is kind of a that ain't right thing. It's not me, it's you pack. You can choose the 12 cookies you want to give your soon-to-be ex, and they'll include a handwritten breakup note on the inside of the box. This is one of the tackiest things I've ever heard of in my life.
I don't know. If you get broken up with and you get cookies, maybe it's not so bad.
Well, okay, that's a fair point. I should say, journalistically, I am speaking as somebody who was broken up with in a 3-year relationships through text. So I admit that this one, you know, it's close.
Looking back on that, James, had you gotten cookies, would it maybe have made it better?
A lot better. A lot better. A lot better.
And a handwritten note. Come on. Yeah, this is almost classy.
You might be spinning me on this. You might be. Insomnia said in a press release that it's a, quote, very unserious way of ending things, since warm cookies are better than a cold heart.
Oh, so they're even warm? Wow. I'd be surprised by that.
Some good marketing, I'll admit. Some good marketing. It's pretty good. I'm going to leave that one up to the audience if it's a that ain't right story or not. You guys can go ahead and decide at home about that one. Let's get to some local good stuff, and that includes our schedule. I want to tell you what's coming up here at WFHR. Good things on the radio dial tonight. Right here at WFHR, Badger men's basketball at 6:30. Big Ten matchup. The UW taking on Nebraska, and on our sister station WIRI at 7:05. Our pregame kicks off for Athens at Assumption girls basketball. Randy and Seth covering that one for you.
Oh, that'll be a good game.
You know it's going to be good. And in our Midday Magazine in part one, we're going to talk historic Point Boss with Mike Hittner and Tom Bremer. Looking forward to that. We've got the Robert and Mary Wakely at Wakely's Winterfest talk about. Looking forward to it.
Oh, that's coming up soon.
And Allison Jajak, regional cranberry educator with UW Extension, is going to join us in part two.
Learn about cranberries.
That's going to be a lot of fun. Looking forward to it. It's going to be a good one right there. Want to remind everybody that going on at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center tonight is their host exhibit opening. Yeah. Aspiring Artists Exhibition will be taking place today from 5:30 to 7:30 over at the Cultural Center at 2651 A Street South in Wisconsin Rapids. Be sure to go check.
These are new artists you haven't seen there before, or artists doing a new medium you haven't seen before.
Yeah. It's a really cool, not only act or an idea, but a great show. Go check that out.
Think 40-plus exhibits?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of great exhibits. We're going to talk more about this tomorrow, but be sure to check it out tonight, 5:30 to 7:30 opening night. Meet the artists at the Central Wisconsin Cultural Center, located at 2651 A Street South here in Wisconsin Rapids. We were talking Uptown earlier. Encourage you to get your tickets at savorthearts.com for Uptown. They are coming to town. And how'd you like to go for free, everybody?
Woo!
We're going to give away tickets right now. We're giving away tickets at 715-424-2600, 715-424-2600. Call up and tell Melissa and I one of your favorite Motown hits, and you'll win these tickets. Melissa, great show today.
Yeah, you too, James. Thanks.
We're going to go ahead and let Uptown play us out here, and we'll take the winner. Have a great day, everybody, from WFHR. WFHR Wisconsin Rapids 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.